Amen. All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? And we'll. One thing about the communion is you can stand in faith for somebody else when you take the communion. And, you know, stand in for them. You know, it's important to carry your friends. You know, the paralytic man, he couldn't get around. But he had some friends that could carry him. And I want you to notice something very important about this instance. When they let him down through the roof, Jesus saw their faith. You know, imagine this guy was wore out. I imagine he was tired of fighting. I imagine he had finally given up hope, but his friends didn't. And his friends carried him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at them, he saw their faith, and that man got healed. It's important to stand in for people around you. One thing about the communion is you can get healed a little bit at a time. You don't have to come up with a great miracle right at once. You don't have to get a full instantaneous healing. You can get it a little bit at a time. That's okay. I'll take a little bit. But don't get frustrated if you seem like you hit a plateau. Thank God for the 30% that you got, the 40%, however much you got, and keep praising Him and keep taking communion and go after your 100-fold return. Amen? Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. So we look at this bread as the body of Jesus. And Father, we see how He got sacrificed. We see that sacrifice was for us, and it was on purpose. That sacrifice tore His body apart. He got stripes on His back for our healing. His body was beaten and bruised, and His body was broken. His body was pierced, and He shed blood. Everywhere He got pierced, He shed blood, and we received that redemption. And Father, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on our Lord Jesus. The judgment that was meant for us. Jesus took it all. He took our place so that we could take His place. Let's think about this for just a minute. Father, our Lord Jesus did a perfect work in His sacrifice. We're taking this for our healing and our well-being, as well as our friends and family's healing and well-being. We thank You for it. The blood of Jesus is so absolutely, perfectly clean and pure and devoid of sin. It's the only thing that could wash away our sin. The blood of Jesus is still alive. If you could touch it, it'd still be pliable. It's still on this earth. And it's still doing what God sent it to do. It's still cleansing our sins. That blood of Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now we can stand in God's presence as though nothing ever happened. Because as far as He is concerned, the blood of Jesus washed it all away. And now you're under the blood. When He sees you, He sees the perfect sacrifice of His Son. We thank You for this, Father. Wow. All right. Kids are cool. They're pretty weird, but they're cool. I was never around kids. I mean, I was full-blown 100% card-carrying bachelor until I got in my 40s. And then got married, and I thought, well, she doesn't have any kids, so it'll be okay. I'll get out of this thing unscathed. And then, my goodness, there'd be times we had 8 or 9 of them in the house. And it's like, I don't know what happened. But it's good to have kids around. It's good to have kids around. Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. And we'll continue on with our adventure with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit will do a lot of different things through people. Our job is just to be willing to be used by Him. You know, we always get these specific ideas of how things need to be, as if we really know how things need to be. But if we'll just let that go and let Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and let Him come up with the ideas, things will go a lot smoother. It'll be a lot funner and a lot more productive. It's when we get these rigid ideas on how we want it to be, that's when we actually get in His way and cause more harm than good, usually. We just got to, you might say, you just got to go with the flow. Go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Don't go with the flow of the world. You need to be going upstream as far as that's concerned. Don't become complacent with the world. Even if it makes people mad, and it will, you need to be the burr under somebody's saddle blanket. I mean, too many people are just too willing to just go with what the world says. Go with what the government says. You need to be the one saying, no, whoa, you need to stop. Don't listen to those guys, they're evil. Go this other way. You know? That way you're flowing with Holy Spirit, not the world. Well, in Acts chapter 8, we get introduced to Saul. And they had just got done stoning Stephen. And Saul was consenting unto this. He consented unto Stephen's death. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Well, that's interesting. These guys had all been right there, huddled up in one happy little group. They got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were preaching, and there were some pretty cool things happening on. But they didn't do exactly what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus said, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel. Well, they made it to the city limits. They made it to their comfort zone. But they weren't willing to expand their bubble. Christians fight this all the time. Like, you know, we don't know what's on the other side. We don't know what's around that corner. I ain't going over there, man. I'm going to fall off the edge of the earth. You got to understand, God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, are you going to believe God or are you going to believe the devil? See, the devil is going to say, don't go over there and witness to that guy, because did you see the guns on him? He's got arms as big as your leg. He could break you in half, boy. I did that one time. One time I walked into the gym and there was this guy. I mean, the arms on this rascal were something special. I mean, he had a chest. His chest, he made two of me. I'm pretty skinny, but he was still big, and he was almost as tall as me, and he was obviously in better shape than me, and he had a great big gold cross hanging on his chest, and it was just a target for me. So I went up there, and I grabbed that cross, and I said, is this a good luck charm, or do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And his eyes got about that big, and he said, I was hoping somebody would tell me about Jesus. And he got born again right there on the spot. My buddy said, I can't believe you didn't touch that guy. But look, let Holy Spirit do things through you. Don't let your mind get too much in control. Let Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. He's got the ideas. You don't have to come up with them. But anyway, these guys got scattered. They had to have some propulsion. You know, Saul scattered them out. You know, they went everywhere. Now look what happened. Now, the devout men carried Stephen to his burial. They made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. Well, God got his way. I mean, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They didn't want to break their little bubble, but Saul helped them out a little bit. Now, you know, in today's world, Saul would be hated beyond measure. They'd say he's a terrorist. You stay away from that man. The Bible says, all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. All that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. See, Paul, he got a pretty bad rap sheet going for him now. But God will deal with him later. Let's get back to what's going on here. Well, Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Joy. When the gospel gets preached, it brings joy to people. When you tell somebody about the good things that God has for them, when you tell somebody about the good things that Jesus has done for them, it causes joy to happen to them. Not happiness. Happiness is an emotion. Happiness comes and goes. It's up and down. One day you're happy, one day you're not. You know, if you notice, people are bipolar by nature. You know, one minute they're happy, one minute they're not, and then they're happy, then they're not, then they're happy, then they're not. But you can have joy. You might not be so happy about what's going on, but you have joy in your heart. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that comes from a relationship and fellowship with Christ Jesus. It's a fruit. It's not, however, something that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, I know a lot of people who have joy in their hearts and they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You start talking to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're going to give you the right foot of fellowship. But they have true joy in their heart, because they do call on the name of the Lord Jesus. They do fellowship with Him. Amen? Well, anyway, the revival's on here. Philip, he got scattered with the rest of them. You know, the apostles, they stayed in Jerusalem, but Philip, he got scattered out there, and he's out there running around having a big time. Can you imagine? Get to a big city and start a revival, or however big this city was, I don't know, but people are getting born again. People are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's all wonderful. It's cool. Man, this is the place for me. This is where I want to be. Everybody wants that. The revival's on and it's cool. You know, I imagine they were having some really good times. They were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He preached the word of the Lord to them. Then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord, go down to verse 26. The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, Enoch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. Well, here's where people have these challenges. They were just in this, he was just in this town having a great revival. Man, it was a rocking good time. You know, devils were getting cast out, people getting healed, people getting born again, people getting baptized. What fun. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, go to the desert. Well, that ain't no fun. Why would I go over here to this quiet place? You know how many preachers I run into that have had that same challenge? I ain't going to that little town. Here's what the true concept is. I'm not going to that little place because the offering is too small. I'm not going to the jails. They don't even have an offering plate. I'm not going to go do this little thing because it's not a big thing and I won't be as cool. When I was in Bible school, I remember, you know, I was wondering what I was supposed to be doing. You know, I was kind of going and everybody was saying, well, I'm called to go to the PBR. I'm called to go to the PRCA. I'm called to go to this. I'm called to go to that. And I thought, where do they find this? As far as I can see, we're called to go into all the world. Well, I noticed there was a line of preachers from here to Alpine and back waiting to preach at these big rodeos in the PBR. I even had one guy tell me he was anointed to preach to the extremely rich people. I thought, really? Where did you get that anointing? Well, anyway, what they were basically saying, we don't want to go do these little things. Don't ever get caught in those shoes. I spent a lot of time thinking about how come I ended up where I am and why I even got to preach at all. And I can only trace it back to one thing. When we got out of Bible school and nobody was anywhere, and some people got mad, I just went home and I said, well, I'm going to work. And if you need me, just let me know and I'll go. And so what happened is I became available. So a bunch of little tasks started happening, you know. So I'd go to jail and I'd go over here and go over there and do little things. And it was okay. And then I got to noticing that some of these pastors would call me to go into some of these places. If it looked like you could get a bloody nose, I'd get a call. I'd go. I'd just go. You know, we go do whatever, little things. And then pretty soon one day, I got called to go be an interim pastor in a little church. And then he just keeps on going. But it's just being available. Philip was available. He was available for the good times. He was available when all of a sudden, you know, can you leave the good time to go do something that doesn't look very fun? Well, he ended up going and preaching to the Enoch, and the Enoch got born again. But Philip had to explain to him the scriptures. Now, once he got baptized, this is really cool. Go down to verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the Enoch, and he baptized him. This is one of those verses that I want to experience. This one coming up, because I think this is so cool. This is a revolutionary way to travel. Verse 39 says, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the Enoch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That's cool. He baptized the guy, and when the guy come up out of the water, he was 30 miles away. That's got to be the ultimate way to travel. That's one of the things I want to try. That's one of the things I want to do. That walking on water, I think that'd be pretty cool too. I mean, look. If Peter could do it, you can do it. After all, Jesus said, if he could do it, you could do it. Well, anyway, he's just getting bounced around by the Holy Spirit. Philip evidently didn't have this tidy little box that we like to try to put God in. So everything's got to be in this order, and everything's got to be this way, and we can't take it out of order. It's going to be all dysfunctional. And after all, this is what the guy on the internet said. You got to do this thing first, then you got to do this thing second, then you got to do this thing third. You can't get them out of order. It's going to lead to confusion. God is not the author of confusion. You got to just relax. You know, one time I was helping a church. They were doing some street evangelism. They asked me to come help. So I said, okay. So we go up there, and they had a big map of this area there. And they said, okay, this team, you're going to stay in this little sector. And this team, you're going to stay in this little sector. And you guys are going to be in this little sector. You guys go out there and you do your thing and then come back and give us a report. I said, okay. So my old team, we jumped in the car and we took off. And we're going to our little sector. And I told this lady, I said, turn right. And she said, oh, that's not our sector. I said, well, I don't care if that's our sector. Turn right. And she said, are you sure? And I said, get up there. So we turned right, and she said, where do we go? And I said, I don't know. Just keep going. So we get out there, and I said, when you get to that street, take a right. So, okay. So we get out there, and we took a right. Going down that street, and I said, when you get down there to that man standing underneath the little porch in front of his house, stop. So she said, okay. So we pulled up there. I walked up to that guy, and I said, you need to be born again. You need to do it right now. And he said, my wife just left me. I said, well, Jesus is the only one that can save you. And he got born again on the spot. I never seen him again. But he got born again that day. But if we would have went on our little planned route by our design, doing it the way we decided to do it, that guy may have not come in contact with anybody. It's okay to have an idea, but ultimately, let Holy Spirit decide where to go and what to do. It'll just take a little bit of practice, and you'll have to be willing to expand your little world. You know, you can push into new areas all the time. Just understand, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. So become willing to just step out and do a different thing. Do a new thing. Witness to that person that you thought was untouchable. Witness to that person that you thought would throw rocks at you if you told him anything about Jesus. Most of all, have compassion on people. Reach out to people. Let them know you're available. Let them know you're around. And when people are hurting, this is a really cool thing I've noticed about people that aren't born again. When they're sick, when they're hurt, when things are bad, they don't mind it when you pray for them. And then that opens up a door to you to tell them about Jesus. Remember, the Bible tells us that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. So people need to see God do something good first so they can change their mind about him so that they can receive him as their Lord and Savior. We won't have enough time to get on to the next part, but I just want you to be encouraged. God knows more than we do. Even if it looks like all the action is going on over here, be like Philip. Be willing to step away from the action to go over here. It might be just one person that you're witnessing to. But that one isolated person, you know, could be just like that Enoch. That Enoch was in charge of Candace's treasury. I don't know how much gold Ethiopia ended up sending to Jerusalem, but I got a feeling it was a lot. Just let Holy Spirit decide which way to go. You can ask Him. You know, you can ask Him to show you somebody to witness to. And then let Him open the doors of their heart to receive Jesus. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Holy Spirit does for us all the time. As our guide, our teacher, our comforter, we thank you for everything that Jesus does for us as our high priest. He's always standing there at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. It means He's praying for us so that we can be at the right place at the right time, so that good things can happen to us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee back here and fellowship. Come on back and have some.